if it's all right. It's going to get in wind here somewhere.
Hello, incendiary friends and heads and other people. The sound that you can hear is Richard trying to reinflate his airbed.
I'm buggered.
Yeah, he's already blown it up once, and he's now trying to see if he can reinflate, as it were. His girlfriend has the most lovely self-blown up mattress, very comfortable, and she's laid quite comfortable on it, but Richard now looks like he's got a really, like, uncomfortable towel to lie on. But he's trying to fix it, and by the sounds of us inflating airbeds and things, you can probably figure out that we're at the Halden Festival again, aren't we?
James, it's blown up.
It's blown up again.
What do I
what
do?
What have you done?
I don't know.
Okay, well,
what have I done?
We should be here for the rest of the weekend.
We will, but we should be a minute.
Telling you things that are going on, but at the minute we have airbeds to solve.
Eh?
You are a problem child, aren't you, Richard?
I'm a problem. Why? But it fell out.
Worried listeners will be pleased to know that Richard has figured out where the hose is meant to go in the pump. And instead of trying to inflate
himself,
via the handle, he's managed to figure out the correct place in the pump for the air to go in and out of.
I've tried to inflate myself.
It took some time, but we're getting there. Right.
Catch you later.
Stay tuned in case he blows it up again.
Oh, Jesus wept.
Keep going.
I can't, man. It's hurting. Oh.
Right. I think you should stop now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you stop. Don't do that!
I don't like it. It's annoying.
You don't like what?
Not everything. I don't like anything. I don't like it. I don't want it to stop.
Right, you're now just doing your pillow, Richard.
I'm doing my pillow. I didn't realise you couldn't sit on it before you put your pole in. I didn't realise that you had to put it in.
Right, that's enough or it won't
explode. Right, alright, okay. Don't sit on it. Don't sit on that. Oh, oh, oh! Right. Oh.
Don't sit on it.
Oh.
You need to put your valve in, Richard.
No, I have.
They're not in. They're not in. They're sticking out. They're not.
They
push them in.
Honestly, they're in.
Push them in.
They're in. It's the design.
Tell the listeners it's alright, Richard.
It's alright. Everything's alright. Fucking hell.
There are some great things to admire about coming to Halden, especially the way that people camp.
Oh, yeah.
Now we mentioned last year about
the ingenuity,
just the ingenuity of it, but now we're looking and it honestly looks like we've walked into a car park because everything's nicely arranged and all the cars are in nice straight lines and all neatly packed in next to each other.
There
must be like four cars for every tent, so I'm not sure whether there's the people are like. Yeah. Sleeping seven in a four-man tent or something.
There's
so many cars.
So many cars this year. This is a very, very strange thing, the amount of cars. We have to ask the owners why. Yeah. I'm sure that there's some sort of pre-arranged signal. There's, more cars this year.
It's a fascinating environment. I think, unfortunately, there's a lot more flags this year than normal, which is quite worrying.
Yeah, there's one which is kale, though. It's probably Kentucky Fried Chicken, but it isn't.
Yes. There's the usual kind of English, Irish, Scottish. There's one over there that has a flock of sheep on it, which is probably my favourite I've seen so far.
The sheep is winning, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The sheep flag. Everyone should have a sheep flag, I think.
A flock of sheep in the middle is wonderful. Yeah. But you're right, the cars, it could actually be some sort of used... In fact, we could actually make a bit of money on the side by flogging cars off this
weekend. Yeah. It looks like you've had men in yellow coats kind of steering you in and you leave your car here. But it's not, they've just done this of their own accord. But everything's in such nice, neat lines.
As a nation, the Germans second to none camping ability. They really are. They can do... I just don't know how they manage to have a gene that allows them almost to camp in a manner that is... There's no pre-arranged signal. There's no sort of rule laid down. It's
just all knowing.
They just know.
And there's more party tents here, those gazebo things, than there are in a garden centre. There's thousands of them. Everyone's just kind of slumming around and having the traditional German breakfast of badly cooked sausages and beer, which seems to be going down quite well. There's not so much singing because I think it's too hot. But yeah, things are looking good.
Did you know? know that the Germans actually have the highest proportion of people who are members of the Car Park Appreciation Society, and this is the result.
I think this is their annual general meeting.
It certainly is.
Right, here we go. This is the level of expert camping the best we've seen so far. Basically, there are two large motorhomes parked about 12 feet aside from each other. Both of them are towing caravans behind them, but then they've erected with a gigantic sheet of tarpaulin, seven bits of rope, and three just planks of wood nailed together. They've erected this massive tent underneath it. Now, underneath the tent, they have their own football table. Table football, for those who don't understand what football is. But, I mean, who would bring their own football table to a festival? The English would never be able to manage something like that. We can't even manage getting a tent together half the time. But you've just got to give them credit. They've also got bird feeders over there.
What?
They've got bird feeders. They've got lanterns, and they've been built like a washing line across throughout the tent.
They have as well.
And they've got bird feeders on it, so at least they're feeding the local wildlife as well. Either that or they're trying to catch the supper. Okay, it's about time we took you through the events of day one.
Incidentally, hello, by the way.
Yes, but we've learned a few things already. This is we shouldn't be giving recording devices and alcohol.
No, that's a disaster.
Two.
So, just prints in your car.
You look like, I don't know.
Sorry
maybe
about
I have.
This, everyone.
Maybe I have been run over.
Damien has got print marks on his legs.
Yes, I look like I've been run over.
He does look he's been run over. Oh, he's been moulded from rubber and the mould's gone wrong. But anyway, where were we? We were talking
about day one. Realise that you shouldn't mix Dutch beer and German beer.
Dutch beer and German beer should never be mixed.
No. We've also learnt that we really should apologise to a number of people for our behaviour yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Especially those in shorts.
We weren't unruly and we weren't aggressive.
No, we were funny.
But we definitely got some strange reactions to our comments. But why me and you became the fashion police at some point,
I don't know.
We're about as fashionable as a fucking clown in the Yves Saint Laurent shop.
Exactly. But anyway, here we are, we've set the scene. We're walking along Haldon's most beautiful pastoral farmland, which encompasses the festival. We're walking past some very beautiful, Jersey cows in one field. There's some freezing across the road.
They look like they've been brushed quite strangely.
They have been brushed quite strangely, but, it's a lovely, glorious summer day. The harvest is all virtually getting brought in.
Yeah, the corn's doing well this year.
We can report. And we should actually remember what we did last night,
The evening began with David Ford. I don't really want to say too much about him, but we decided he wanted to be Bono, but he came across more like Bryan Adams.
And his drummer had a hat on, Stetson.
He had a cowboy hat on, which he didn't like.
Why does a drummer need a Stetson? I mean, you're going to be hot drumming, and then you go and put a hat on in an enclosed space, and it's a Stetson. I mean, what on earth do you need that? Anyway, look, stop it. But it was all right. It was all very well crafted. It was all lots of fun. But somehow it just didn't shake our trees. So we have to apologise to David. I'm sorry, mate. It's nothing there. Nothing personal, but we just didn't really get it.
Just going to move out of the way of a rather large truck being driven by an even larger man.
Thanks a lot.
He was followed by cymbals and guitars. But there weren't any cymbals and nobody hit a guitar. And
no,
I was very disappointed.
You were, weren't you? It was perfectly acceptable American math rock in many ways. I thought, again, it's one of these bands where there's a lot of...
math rock, it didn't add up to me.
Exactly. There was a lot of bands who seemed to, I don't know, be very, very happy at pre-recording ideas pre-formatting and what's the word? Help me, Damien. I can't remember.
I don't know.
So, they're trying to
Prehistoric.
They try and work out ideas in their head before they put them in the song. It's all very self-satisfied. It was okay, but again, it didn't get me. You know, it didn't shake my tree, as it were, really.
Yeah, and then we had Beach House, who I have to say were very, very good. But all I could see was three pyramids.
At this point,
three blue pyramids, which didn't make much sense to me.
There were three pyramids on stage, and actually, to be honest, Beach House's music has a very
They're obviously trying to summon up some kind of
hypnotic.
Mystical magic.
They're a very hypnotic vibe, don't they? They have this beautiful idea of allowing. Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me a bit like the Summer Sun, the old Tango album, that sort of insistent, quiet beat to it. And they have a lovely vibe about them, Beach House. I like their album a lot.
Yeah, they're not very. I mean, at least they had pyramids on stage, but there wasn't much to look at. There wasn't much of a show. And there was so much dry ice on stage that basically it was like looking at three legs in a crowd.
Three pyramids in a lot of dry ice with an insistent hypnotic sort of West Coast beat. Mm. And that was it. But we liked the music a great deal, so we'll leave it at that.
There was Chapel Club, who I have to say, I think I went for some food at that point and I can't remember much about
it. I can say a bit about Chapel Club. Chapel Club have this very 1980s big doom-mongery vibe. It's very much like The Cure, very much like Early Echo and The Bunnymen. It's those huge portentous chord changes. Quite the singer, funnily enough, reminded me of things like Morrissey singing Back to the Old House, and it was pleasant enough, but it's one of those sort of things where you get the feeling that it's been done to death so much recently, this sort of whole 80s take on how to present portentous rock songs, that one could almost be forgiven thinking that you could have made this band up in your head and then actually never listened to them in the first place, if you know what I mean, listeners.
Then we had I Blame Coco, who Richard really liked until
found out he's a daughter of Sting.
Yes, and then you didn't like him because you just on principle.
No, on principle.
But yeah, she
was pleasant enough. She had nice enough songs. There's one she sung dreadfully out of tune at one point. But, the thing is, I was... up to this stage, outside of Beach House, who I have a bit of a soft spot for, I wasn't grabbed by anyone, were you? I wasn't sort of
thinking up to that point. But, I blame Coco. I don't really blame her for anything.
No,
Why
do you want to name yourself being blamed? Do you mean it's like, why do you want to name Coco? It's a perfectly acceptable drink.
Yes, it's very acceptable. Yeah, name for a clown, too.
It is. I mean, why? But there again, yeah, who but am
then,
I to
then,
ask?
All of a sudden, the kind of evening took on a much more happier note because Seabed came on and practically blew us away.
Oh, Seabed were fantastic. I mean, I like a lot of what they do. I like the last album. I like Simfang's solo album, which is wonderful. I thought when they played Let's Make a Fire, the whole place is just spellbound. I think they have this very sort of shy vibe about them. It's almost like they reluctantly have to play. Oh, yeah, we'll play, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's almost the ultimate...
Rockstar shit.
No, it's the absolute opposite of that. Yeah, the absolute opposite of that. But they were wonderful, and they have a beautiful sound, and they have a very gentle vibe, which you sort of feel at times could fall to pieces at any moment. It's so delicate, the way they craft their songs. And of course, this being the Spiegel tent, the atmosphere, the lights, everything,
Temperature.
The temperature, yeah. It sort of combines...
It was a superb performance.
Exactly.
And there was, I was rather inebriated by that
point.
You were
happy.
There was a couple of times where I just closed my eyes and
you
listened to them, and when I opened my eyes, I completely forgot where I was or anything. Now, I admit, again, the alcohol probably had something to do with that.
It was a wonderful gig. We've just had, actually, a moment now, a Haldane first, where we've walked through the farmer's farm and not been barked at by the dogs.
Yeah, they obviously recognise us that much now.
After years of going here, it's because it's them. Those people who go through the farm to the village. Normally, they just... rapacious canines yelping, basically wanting our calves for a bit of a succulent taste, but no, not today. Anyway, sorry about that.
And for those who've got smell at MP3 players, we're now walking past the world's largest compost heap.
It is, indeed. It's waves saving up every morning,
silence,
isn't it?
Just
every morning it waves saving up. Anyway, after them, we had
Stornoway, who, they were okay.
But after
Seabed, I think basically it was... hard act to
follow. It was best for us, wasn't it, really?
No. Couldn't really follow.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's one of these things where they're a perfectly acceptable band, but you're sort of thinking, it's very much of a muchness. There's a certain amount... My God, I can hear Rolling Stones in the background. I can hear Mick yodelling through Angie, which is always there. Yeah. So it all sounds like he's got his knackers caught in a tin, doesn't it?
Rolling Stones are available, of course.
Yeah, exactly. There are, indeed. But Stornoway, it was all right. It worked to a point. But then again, you sort of think, well, it's always very much like a case of it's just perfectly acceptable and that's enough. And, the music critics in us always want something that has a little bit more. Which we got today, didn't we, James, actually?
But we'll talk about that in
another moment. We'll talk about that in another moment.
Yeah, but it's
pass the toilets.
To pass the portaloos.
Oh, dear.
And head off into day two.
Into day two.
We shall report back later on.
Right, goodbye.